everybody. Welcome to a special Android Central podcast again. So we're going to call this episode number 145. I am live in New York City. I'm Phil Nicholson. If that thing right there doesn't explain it. And fresh off the brand new Motorola X event. And I happen to have the phone here. So we are going to talk about it for a little while. Down at the bottom there, if you don't know him, we got Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, everyone.
And Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
How's it going, everybody?
It's going. I'm hungry. I haven't had breakfast yet.
Oh, they didn't do a breakfast event. They should have done.
Yeah,
they should do breakfast with every event.
That's right. Mm. You had the breakfast event, didn't you?
I didn't really have much time to eat either, though.
So, I don't know. What do you guys want to know? Have you read all the stories? We wrote a couple stories today.
Just a couple.
Yeah.
So what's the big thing? What's the, if you had to explain what's special about this phone in one sentence?
All right. So here's the phone. And for everybody not watching the video, sorry, but here it is. That's it.
You described it as black slabish.
It's a black slab, right? But
Except for when it's a green slab.
There are a number of ways to look at this phone. Let's just start at the basic specs, right? For me, one really cool thing is it's a 4.7-inch display and basically almost a 4.3-inch body. So I brought the Nexus 4 with me, and you can see here it's smaller than the Nexus 4, at least as far as footprint goes. I think it's thicker when you get down to the butt, when you get down to right in the middle, right, where it's the thickest. Actually, the way they did this body... So here's the HTC One. You see how much taller the HTC One is, right? Much, much taller phone, a little bit wider. Remember with the HTC One, they did display, batteries in the middle, and then the PCB, the motherboard, is up top where it gets thinner, right? They didn't quite do that. Sorry for the noise, guys. It's a loud hotel here in New York. With the Moto X, what they did is the battery's still on the posterior, but they almost did it like a pyramid, so it kind of steps up as it gets thicker or toward the posterior. So it's a different design cue, and it works. It feels really good in the hand, right? Just love the way that curves back, even more than the HTC One. I like the HTC One a lot. I think we all know that. The rest of the phone, it's relatively, normal-ish. You got power button and volume button here. 3.5-millimeter headphone jack up top, USB down on the bottom, right? No big deal. 10-megapixel camera on the back, the flash. Got the Motorola logo and a little dimple, so it's kind of nice. And SIM card tray on the other side, and that's it there. Physically, it feels good. It's really nicely designed. The glass wraps around the front just in a really pleasing way. It feels really good. Really like holding this phone. It's a little heavy. Was it 130 grams? So it's probably right up there with the HTC One. I don't remember what it is. But it feels like a solid, solid device. So there's that. Like, hardware-wise, it feels nice. I know, Andrew, you want to talk about what's inside it, because it's a little weird. So it's this new Motorola X8 thing. Same as, by the way, a lot of what we're talking about right now is the same as with those Motorola Droids that we got last week on Verizon. Basically the same platform, just different design. And a couple different software things, but not a whole lot. That was a lot of the questions we had this morning was, well, why is this coming out now if you basically just released the same thing last week, even though it's not the same thing because last week was a Verizon thing. Mm-hmm. This is a Motorola thing that happens to be on Verizon and AT&T and Sprint and T-Mobile and U.S. Cellular.
The really striking thing for me is that the difference between those two lines is really one of style, right? You've got the very much the Droid styling on the Verizon stuff. This isn't the old sort of weird Motorola that wasn't quite Droid, wasn't quite something else. It's very much its own unique sort of new Googlified, more curved, more friendly Motorola.
Mm-hmm. I sat down with one of the execs this morning who came over from the Google side and very much said that. And we talked for a minute about that because you used to have the two sides of Motorola. You had the Droid side and then the weird backflip side or the weird Defy. So, you had this separate subset of devices that just weren't anywhere near as good. This is absolutely a really good device, I think. We can talk about price, and we can talk about whether it's deserving of the price that it has. But in and of itself, I think, just even in just a few hours, and I've been using this for 6 hours now, looks and feels like a really good device. All right, so let's talk what's under the hood. So it's got this X8, Snapdragon S4 Pro, 1.7 gigahertz, and then it's got these separate cores. So it's dual core on the processor, right, quad core on the GPU, and then you have a natural language processor, and then along with that, it has, they're calling it a contextual computing processor, and that handles a lot of this this voice stuff. So
it's, again, Andrew's trying to
talk me down.
Well, I mean, we've been hearing this whole Snapdragon S4 Pro thing as people saying that it's a mid-range phone, but as we found out with some of the new details that came out, because this is the same X8 thing that's going on in the new Droids as well, it's a step above that as far as what we have in the Nexus 4. It's clocked a little bit higher. They're doing these separate language processing and whatever else, contextual processing on the side. So that stuff gets offloaded off of the main processor, which right, lightens the load and should help battery. And then also on the GPU side, it's a higher level GPU than what's was normally included. I believe it's something similar to what we see on the S600. So just because it's an S4 Pro doesn't mean that you have to, you know, shun it if you're a spec junkie. But I think the most important parts, and Phil, you can talk about what the software implementation is, mm-hmm, but the natural language processing and the contextual computing, I think those are probably what Motorola is pushing the biggest by having this X8 platform.
I'm never a huge spec nerd anyway. Like, they're good to know, but as long as it works, what do I care?
And right, it's going to work that much better because, like, you were kind of hinting at there that the so much of the fancy stuff that it does is offloaded to those three or four whatever extra chips that are on there, not system on a chip, but just different chips on the board that handle this stuff. So the dual core that's in there is going to be taxed much less than if they just roll out, say, a run-of-the-mill dual-core S4 Pro.
Right. Keep going down the specs. 2 gigabytes of RAM. The battery, as long as we're talking about all the stuff on the inside and the battery, they say this thing lasts all day. And we flat-out asked them this morning, well, what does that mean? They said, looked everybody simultaneously in the eye, glowing red, and said 24 hours.
Well, they said 24 hours mixed use, didn't they, is on the spec sheet?
No, they're talking real, actual use, 24 hours. We'll see. I will believe that when I see it.
Yeah. Right.
When they say all day, that's what they mean.
Well, with a 720p display and a 2200 milliamp hour battery and some of these processing things they're doing, it sounds feasible, but of course it's all about, proof is in the pudding there, but right, it sounds like they have the recipe for a longer battery life.
And, you know, as long as we're talking about that, I'm going to plug it in right now because I got to go out tonight. Man, I want to go out and take some pictures. We'll talk about the camera in a second. The weather here in New York is crappy today. We got in and out before the rain, which is nice, but I can't wait to go take pictures. All right, so let's talk about the camera. 10-megapixel camera on the back, 2-megapixel on the front. So here's the cool thing about the camera. If you haven't seen, we did a whole separate post on this. It was a nice little animated GIF and a video. So I'm right here on, actually, let's not even do that. Let's turn the phone off, right? Not off, but sleep. I'm going to get to the camera here. That's it. Hi. Whoa, that's like some weird inception here in the video. Oh, and that's it. That's all you have to do to get to the camera, is just turn your wrist twice. It works when the phone is on from any application, just...
So is there
three times for some reason?
Is there a danger of you walking around just turning that on by accident, taking a bunch of pictures of your pockets?
I haven't done it yet. No, I mean it's a dedicated sort of twist. It's not.
And I guess they would test for that, and it's going to be more maybe a danger if it's powered down in a case or something in a bag. We'll have to see how that works. I'm sure they've taken that into consideration.
So the camera app itself, this leaked out a little earlier. And I'll show it to you here. So the camera app is actually really simple. By default, this entire display is the shutter. So there, you see there's no shutter button. You do have a button for video. You have a button to switch over to the front-facing camera. What happens to... Oh, is that on the front-facing camera now? I think it is. Oh, yep. Now it is. Okay.
Now that's right.
And then if you slide over from there, you get the settings. Now, there aren't a lot of settings on here, and that's by design. They said, look, people don't use all the settings that are getting thrown into these phones, right? And they didn't specifically say Samsung and to a lesser extent HTC, but face it, right? So all you have here is HDR, flash. This one in the middle toggles the full screen being the shutter. Right? You can actually turn that on and off. And when you turn it off, it becomes tap to focus.
Ah, good.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, you can, and then you get this weird shutter button instead. So I don't know. We'll see.
So how does that compare to what's been done in the new 4.3 camera app? Because that's been changed a lot in terms of how you navigate through settings, and you still have quite a few of them, but
it's easy to get around. I need to play with it some more and see. Hang on one sec for me.
It just looks different rather than necessarily better or worse.
Eric Zeman from PhoneScoop, everybody. it's not really similar. It doesn't have the same feel to it at all. The other thing, you get a couple more settings down here. So you have panorama. Oh, you also have slow motion. You have panorama, but no photosphere, which is disappointing.
That's very
That's odd, because that is just Google's technology. That's all the stuff they licensed. So
yeah,
maybe strange. Although, on the other hand, I think we're all in agreement that that's eventually going to hit Google Play in some way, shape, or form.
It has to.
Yeah.
You also have geotagging. You can turn the shutter off. They made that a dedicated option, which it's kind of surprising. A lot of times carriers take that out. And what's the bottom one? Oh, you can turn the wrist action off and on. So, cool. I mean, the camera, it's 10 megapixels. It has this clear pixel technology. So it's, on the sensor, it's an RGB sensor. But they have these clear pixels in there as well, which they say let in 75% more light. So we'll play with that tonight out in New York City, I guess, and see what kind of low light shots we can get. Simple enough taking pictures. So, which is nice. I like the idea of not having a shutter button. I've never particularly enjoyed them just sitting there on the side. It's kind of a pain to get to.
Yeah, as long as it makes it simple to do the manual control as far as tap to focus, and, it's always been a weird thing as far as what's the default for, tap and hold for focus, tap for focus, hold for burst mode. It's, as long as all the options are there, then
right,
you can learn it.
So just blaze through some of the other stuff. So they have what they call active display, and as I hold this up there, it'll appear again in a second. There it is. So you see it just popped the time up, right? And so it's doing this on this low energy sort of thing, and every few seconds that'll show up. If you get an email, that'll show up, and see I have a little email icon, so I can just tap here, and now it gives me a little preview of my emails. That's actually really cool. I like that. Eric, what was that old phone? It was the Trio 700 that did that? You remember?
Trio? No, I don't remember.
Oh, man,
Nokia
yeah.
Nokia's done it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, Samsung had something kind of similar on, I think it debuted on the Note 2, where you had to wave your hand over it to activate it. It never quite worked particularly well. That seems like a bit of a more intuitive way of doing it. And another part of that is that ties into the way the screen works, right? Because that's an AMOLED screen on there. It means you can turn on just select portions of the screen for your notifications. You're not powering up the whole thing. You're not wasting your battery doing that.
It's nice. And you can get notifications at the top and the bottom if you start getting a whole bunch, like text messages and emails. And it works really, really well. I like it. So there's that. And that's also actually very customizable. So you can choose which notifications you want there. You can tell it, hey, after 11 o'clock at night, stop flashing because I'm trying to sleep. Leave me alone. And it will stop. So they've actually incorporated some of those old smart actions from the old Moto Blur days into this. So there's that.
What do you think of the screen in general? Because it's 720p. It's RGB AMOLED, so it's not the Pentile matrix that Samsung uses in a lot of its things. If it's the same one that's on the new Droids, I think it's actually more similar to what's on the Galaxy Note 2, which has kind of a bigger blue pixel and then a green and a red side.
It's not horrendous. I can tell the difference between this and, say, the HTC One. I mean, a number of reasons. One is you're going from 1080 back to 720, and I can tell the difference now. The other is just the colors aren't quite, it doesn't look quite as white, I think.
Really?
No. It's not bad. It I would not say do not get this at this point because of the display. I think the display is all right. Would I rather see 1080? Yeah, I would, but that's life. Blaze into probably the other big software thing, and that is if I say, okay, Google Now, where am I right now? Oh, look at that. It popped on. We'll see if it actually behaves. So that's how you rock Google Now on this thing.
Hmm.
From any point, right? You can just say, okay, Google Now, how long will it take me to get to LaGuardia Airport? And it starts looking it up. I didn't have to touch anything.
The airport is 40 minutes from your location by car and heavy traffic.
And it fires up Google Now. It'll do that from anywhere. Okay, Google Now, show me pictures of cats. It's supposed to do that from anywhere. Okay, Google Now. There it goes. Yes. And it will, you know, say, good afternoon, good morning. It's kind of fun, and it works. I think the big difference here, and I'm a big fan of Google Now, but on a phone like the HTC One, you have to unlock the phone, and then you have to hold down the start button. Even on the Nexus phone, you have to turn it on and then slide up. This, you just say, okay, Google Now, and that's it. It starts up. Now, you do have to train it to your voice. It takes about 30 seconds. You have to say, okay, Google Now, three times in a very quiet room. And then it says, all right, I know what you sound like. Cool. The danger, of course, is that if somebody else says it, it could possibly turn on your phone. I've watched it turn on two phones simultaneously at this point. Yeah, I mean, is that a danger? No. Can it happen? Sure. It's not something that's going to keep me up at night.
But the voice training doesn't then lock out other people's voices.
Well, that's the idea. But, you know, if you sound kind of similar, it can happen.
So, and then you can turn the option off if you'd like to, right?
It's very slim, but
yes. Yeah, they did say it's a slim possibility, but it can't happen. It has happened. Brian Klug from a non-tech and I were messing with each other's phones earlier and making it do that. So it can happen. But what are the odds that you're going to be in a room with a lot of people with these?
Well, because I've noticed, you know, if you're walking down a loud street or something and I have Google Now open walking down the street, it'll often pick up that Google hot word. So hopefully, okay, Google Now is a little more difficult to mess up than just saying Google in Google Now. But you can turn it off, right, if you don't want that option.
Yeah.
So that's kind of solves the problem then.
Are you going to be going around saying, okay, Moto Magic?
Where did that come from?
That, I think, was in that leak from Rogers a couple of weeks back.
Oh, well.
So is that made its way into the final product? Or? All
right, let's see what happens if I say it. Okay, Moto Magic. Nothing. So
that's probably a good thing.
Okay, Google Now. Oh, hello. Is what you say. So that's kind of it from the software. I mean, the rest of the phone is relatively stock.
I see it gives carrier information up in the top bar. That's AT&T's, the way AT&T likes to do it.
Yeah. So this is the AT&T version. They had the Verizon version there today as well. I didn't see any of the others. The menu here is a little custom. The font's different, I think. I'm sure it's a little different. You know, settings menu. Exactly the same. You do have these settings for active notifications and touchless control. That's what those things are. So nice and easy to get to. Motorola device ID. They do have this Motorola Connect thing, so you can get notifications and you know, text messages and stuff on your desktop. They also have this lost phone web portal that you can set up. I couldn't find easily how to do it on the web once I set it up here. So we'll have to play with that some more. There's also this cool Motorola Assist thing. So you turn this on, and your phone will now start to pay attention to what you're doing and say, hey, looks like you're going 55 miles an hour or whatever. I'm going to assume you're driving, and I'm going to turn on car mode. You don't have to plug into anything to actually do that. See what else? Meeting and sleeping. So again, these are the old smart actions. They're just renamed, rolled into something different, and it's nicely done. But otherwise, not a whole lot on the software side. They have a migrate tool so you can bring your old information over from your old phone. That's kind of it. So the other big thing about this phone, of course, is the customization. I'm calling it Moto Maker right now, or at least at launch at the end of the month. It's going to be AT&T only, which sucks, by the way. I saw Eric just put up a story that Verizon tweeted that they're going to have it later this year. Cool. But right now, Moto Maker, where you customize, you know, it's like 2,000 different ways to customize it or something. You have accent colors, you have the back colors, you can get an inscription on the back. That said, a lot of people are getting their emails put on there. You know, and eventually, yes, you can have wood. If you haven't seen our post on that, you can get a wood back put into this, and it's actually really cool. They're prototyping 4 right now, which we saw today. They're going to have them later this year. They don't know what kind, and they said, yeah, look, you know, when you're dealing with wood, it has different RF properties than plastic or metal or whatever, and different kinds of wood have different RF properties. So we're testing them to see. They look really cool. I like it a lot. The thing to remember, though, and, I mean, if you want wood, you're going to have to wait. These backs don't come off, right? So once you do all these customizations, that's your phone. It's not a removable back. It doesn't have a removable battery, no removable SD card or anything. What you have is what you have.
That's maybe going to be a big deal if you have eventually the wooden versions, because wood is going to age in a different way than plastic does.
Yep.
And potentially it's going to scratch more easily. Maybe you're going to chip off. And of course, I'm sure they're using high quality materials when they make these things, but I don't think we've really ever seen anyone attempt to make a contained smartphone without a wooden part that you can take off. It's actually part of the design. So that's something. You remember Sony was showing some prototypes that they were made. They were looking at wooden prototypes of the Xperia T at one point. They showed us some of those, but that never made it past the design board. So it's interesting to see that, and I guess it'll take them a while to get up to speed on it, but it's something new.
So the way the customization is going to work in so far as AT&T is concerned is you can either do it directly at Motorola's website and then give them your account information, I guess, to get your upgrade or whatever. And that's always kind of worried me. Or you can go to the store and say, all right, I want the 16 gigabyte version or I want the 32. And then they're going to give you a little card. And you go home and you scratch off the card and there's a code. And then you put this code into Motomaker.com or Motorola.com or wherever it's going to live. I think there are like 6 different sites for it already. And then you will customize your phone, use that code, and that's, you know, that pays for it. So you pay the store, and then you get this code to use. And it looks pretty cool. So we demoed that today, and it's like picking out anything else. Here's the really cool part, though. They're assembling these phones in the U.S. They're not manufacturing them here, and that's an important distinction to make. But they're assembling them in Fort Worth, Texas. And from the time that you hit, you know, submit or whatever, they say you will have your phone within 4 days, if not sooner. And that's important because
that's a solid turnaround time.
I completely agree. You don't want to do this sort of thing and then wait 4 weeks for your phone. That's just ridiculous. So, yeah, within 4 days, you'll get this completely custom device. And I like the custom ones more than these, you know, just black slabs. The white one looks good, too. This one's soft touch, by the way. I've seen the polycarb ones that are glossy, and they're nice. I think we got a picture of it with the white Nexus 4. There was so much gloss going on, I didn't know what to do. So yeah, so AT&T's got that. AT&T's got the exclusive on the 32 gigabytes for now.
Right. And pricing was $199 on contract or $249.
Do we have an off contract price?
$575 and $630.
That's all right.
$640.
Yeah, there. That's proper. You're not looking at Nexus 4 prices here. That's proper. You are paying the full cost of that phone.
These are not Nexus phones. I think it's still important to have that line. You know, we need to remember these are not Nexus phones. It might be a Google joint, but it's not a Nexus joint, and it's not being sold the same way.
And I think we can mention it will at some point be sold through Google Play. I've seen stories where there's going to be a Google Play edition of it. I think maybe that's leading to say that.
I saw those stories, and that's not what I heard.
Yeah,
I did not hear Google Play edition.
I mean, it's a Google Play edition in that it's sold on Google Play, but it's not in the same sense that it's, yeah, we have the two existing ones right now.
And look, I mean, everybody's freaking out over whether it's a Google Play Edition device or bloatware. I don't know if this is a final ROM. There's not a whole lot of AT&T crap on this. Only piece of AT&T software I see on this right now is My AT&T. That's their account app, which actually, for me being an AT&T customer, is a useful app. Will this get more AT&T crap in what? AT&T address book, okay. But I don't see any of the, you know, the Drive app or any of that crap. So we'll see. I'm not betting on that.
It probably has AT&T's Wi-Fi hotspot stuff baked in and stuff like that.
Again, I'm not sure if this is final ROM, so we'll have to see. Let's see if
we don't have anything on international yet, do we?
No, they said in the coming weeks or, you know, whenever, later this year. No. No, end of the month, end of August, early September. We don't know when the carriers will announce. I do not see AT&T Hotspot on here, by the way. No, it's very stock UI. Again, we'll see if something changes by the time retail units come out.
So kind of interesting. It's got a nano SIM. Uses a nano SIM, doesn't it?
It does. I haven't actually opened that up yet. I need to. Should I do that real quick while we're doing this? Ooh, that is quite the SIM tool. I don't think I've ever seen them that long.
Sturdy.
It is very sturdy. You can get your phone made out of wood. There it is. So that's where it comes out.
They need to give you a wooden SIM pusher too.
So there's your little nano SIM. Interesting tray. So yeah, so if you're swapping phones a lot, you're going to have to get an adapter.
Get an adapter and a cutter.
Yep.
Don't what else, do that guys? With scissors.
Otherwise, I'm going to go get some breakfast.
I'm not sure. That's...
I like it. I'm going to say it now. Is it worthy of all the hype? I don't think anything's ever worthy of all the hype that it gets. I think I'm kind of proud that we rose above a little bit of that, even though we did something like 30 stories on it today, but we actually have the phone, so that's different. I like the way it feels. I really like the way it feels. It's got a good heft to it. It fits the hand the way a phone should.
So it's not extremely thin, and that's like, it's okay that it's not extremely thin. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because that hurt. We've seen that before. It hurts usability if it's flat and thin.
Yeah.
Your hand is not flat. It needs to curve around it.
We'll see how the battery life pans out. 2,200 milliamp hours is okay. I mean, that's about normal. Yeah, it's the low end of normal today. Whenever somebody says 24 hours, I would expect maybe 12. I don't know. We'll see. We'll give it a good go for the next day or so in New York, and then we'll get home and we'll try it some more. But, you know, it sounds promising. They talk a good game anyway. We'll just have to see.
And it's kind of the same deal as far as the camera goes. It sounds, you know, and they say 75% more light. Does it have optical image stabilization by chance?
I don't remember anyone mentioning OIS.
I don't remember that either.
It's not on the spec sheet.
So maybe they're expecting to let in enough light with this clear pixel technology that maybe that's not necessary, or they just didn't have room for it.
Yeah, we'll see. Will it be as good as a Lumia 1020? I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm.
I think people make a lot about OIS, and it's tricky to fit in there. It's mechanical components, moving stuff that you need to fit in, and it compensates for some movement, but not all kinds of movement. If you're moving around all over the place, it's still you're going to get motion in places. So by no means do you need OIS to get a good camera on a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
No, a lot of the demo shots they showed us were pictures of kids running and water splashing. And so, I mean, those always look impressive. We'll have to see when we actually start using it. So
we'll
take some pictures. Anything else? Android 4.2.2, not 4.3. The timing just doesn't work for that sort of thing yet. So,
on the other hand, you've got Bluetooth 4, Bluetooth low energy. That's all there on the Motorola side. So they're filling the gap in that way and that a lot of manufacturers have been.
It's got NFC. It's got Miracast for what that's worth. I've never gotten Miracast to work anyway other than badly.
802.11ac.
We don't have wireless charging, do we? That was rumored at some point, I think.
I do not believe wireless charging, no.
And 50 gigs of Google Drive storage for 2 years.
50 gigs of Google Drive storage for 2 years? I haven't actually seen that anywhere yet, so I didn't see it in the setup screen or anything, but supposedly, yes.
I bet, they have to be able to just detect when you sign in. Honestly, not as useful as Dropbox storage, probably, but
you wouldn't expect Google to bundle Dropbox storage, would you?
No.
So fire up Google Drive, and you get your 50 gigabytes for 2 years. Cool.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we got lots more on this coming up, I think. I'm going to take it home. I'm going to play with it. I'm going to caress it. Three microphones for what that's worth. Speaker's okay. Speaker seems nice and loud. So go read our stuff if you haven't yet. I know it's a lot of posts in one day, but there's a lot to say about this. So stay tuned.
And a lot of videos, too.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Alex, Andrew, thank you. From New York, we're out.
All right, thanks, guys.
See you later.